And the stereotype of the Aussie consumer as being big spenders who love a beer, a smoke and a flutter is outdated.
90% of all recorded music is shite. The other 10% is soul.
You know, all these products are sold the way they are because of years of psychological studies done on consumers like us.
Good evening and welcome to Consumed by Soul with Christopher Zinn. And a great thanks to Holly for the show. And yes, I do have a special guest, more from Balmain than perhaps parts of America, but more of that later, because actually, as you know, sometimes on special occasions we have shows featuring unique artists. We've had Quincy Jones, we've had Teddy Pendergrass, we've had Luther Vandross, we've had Norman Whitfield. So the bar's pretty high, but I have to say today is a really special one, because not only is it the birthday of this remarkable singer, but we have someone in the studio who knew her, worked with her, played, composed for her, so we can go a lot better. It's no one else but Minnie Riperton. And you'd know her very much from this song I'm about to give you a little snatch from. Why we're doing this today, November the 8th, 1947, was when Minnie was born. Sadly, she left us July 12th, 1979. But in the few years that she performed, she left an indelible impression. And you'll know and love this song. I won't give it all to you, but it's just something quite so simple and powerful, and I know that there will be some tears and smiles on people's faces at the end of this program. Such a familiar song, and it means so much to many people all around the world. It was a hit all around the world when it was released in 1975, the fifth single off the album, only released because Minnie's husband suggested it happen, so we all know it. And I'm really delighted to be joined in the studio by Art Phillips, all the way from Balmain. Thanks a lot, Art.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, and on a special day, because it's Minnie's birthday, and she would have been 72, I believe, today. Yeah, and sadly, we lost her at a young 31, and she had an amazing career.
And we're going to hear more of the career, because I know there's many people who know and love that song, but then they might not have been, she was no one-hit wonder. She had an extraordinary repertoire.
She had a huge repertoire, but this song that you just played, which is Lovin' You, was the outstanding one. It was the one that really launched her. And she had a hit with this in almost every territory, globally. And it's such a beautiful song for so many reasons. But if you analyze the song, it's just nylon acoustic guitar and Fender Rhodes and her voice and her doves, because they used to have cages in their house of doves. And they sampled these songs. Not sampled. There was no such thing as sampled. But they recorded them and used them in the actual song. And it's just beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Well, look, just tell us briefly how you came to know and work with Minnie Riperton.
Well, it was a fluke. I was a session guitarist in Los Angeles for a few years before I met her, and I was a recording with a lot of different people, and I ended up doing some demos for her, and I got to know the musical director at the time, which was her keyboard player named Randy Waldman, who's now doing a lot of work as well with people like George Benson and
he might even be here with George Benson next April.
He is, for sure. Yes, that's right. Which I'll catch up with him. I haven't seen him in a long, long time. But what happened was, one Friday night the phone rang, and it was Dick Rudolph saying, our guitar player just got sick. We're in Vegas. Our show's at 8. Can we fly you down to play? And I said, yeah, it's like 4 o'clock. So I hopped on a plane with my guitar, and they had an amp there already. So I played the first show with her live then. And we were opening for George Benson. It was at the MGM Grand, if I remember correctly. And that was the start of my relationship. We all really hit it off. I walked in the dressing room, sweating, thinking, oh, my gosh, I just arrived like a half hour before. And there was Minnie and her best friend, Anise Holzman, who was her nail and hair lady. And we became really good friends. Went up on stage, did the show, and it was magic. And I, one of the songs that we played was this, the song that you just played, and also Inside My Love, and it was just amazing. And we opened for Benson, and she was as big as Benson, no doubt about it.
Wow. Well, look, we're going to have Inside My Love, and I think this is a great song because it proves that there's something so sweet and innocent about loving you. But Inside My Love is a little bit more risque and full of double entendres and was not allowed on certain radio stations.
That's right. It was banned in certain countries, apparently. Yeah, that's right.
People might know it because it was on the Jackie Brown soundtrack, the Tarantino film.
Yeah, it was too. That's right. Yep. Yeah.
So this is a composition by Minnie and Richard and Leon Ware. Mm. And it's from the Adventures in Paradise album, 1975.
We should be
very distinctive Leon Ware sound, but also that voice. Now, was that the whistle register we were hearing there? This is a term I've read, but I've asked you to explain what it means.
Well, yeah, that was part, but she didn't really go way, way up there in the octaves on this one. But she had this amazing falsetto range, or vocal range. It was five octaves, they say, which is basically a very high soprano, or a it's called a coloratura soprano. But she could get way, way up there. So that's what's called the whistle register. But she could hold it, and she's so angelic, amazing.
And also, I think, sort of used it, didn't do it in a kind of showy sense. It just becomes such a part of the songs, but made her so distinctive.
She didn't overuse it, but it just happened at the right time. And the story behind this is really quite interesting. When she was hired to work with the band called the Rotary Connection on Chess Records back in Chicago in the late 60s, when they heard, because at the time, right, the sort of black voices that were really, really cool for female were like the real thick voices like Aretha Franklin, et cetera, you know? And she was playing around one day, and when they heard her voice, they said, "Why don't you sing like this?" And she said, "I'm embarrassed to do that. I don't want to do that." But they had a theremin in the band, which was played by Charles, which is the son of the owner of Chess Records. Because the psychedelic sort of music that the Rotary Connection were actually playing was so incredibly soulful out there, you know, that they wanted her to try and mimic the sound of the theremin, and that's really how it all happened. So that's her voice, is the idea sort of the theremin, and she jumped on it and said, "Okay, well, if it's working, I'll do it," and it became her signature.
So it was almost accidental. She could do it, but she hadn't used it
until then. And she didn't want to do it either because she was embarrassed about how high she could go. She felt like she sounded like a mouse, I suppose. I'm kidding. That's not true. I'm making that up. But but that's the story. It's about the theremin. And Sydney Barnes, who's one of the original singers as well in the Rotary Connection, who's a good friend of the family, also tells that same story.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, look, next we're going to jump to 1979 and her fifth studio album, which was just called Minnie. And this is a track called Memory Lane. Now, you played on the album, but you didn't actually play on this direct track.
I didn't play on this song, no. But the thing about the lyrics of this song, which are amazing, is that she knew she was going because she had cancer, sadly enough. And, you know, when you listen to the lyrics, that's really what it's about. She's really singing about this.
And saying goodbye.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
I stumbled on this photograph. It kind of made me laugh. It took me way back. I see the happiness, I see the pain. Where am I? Back down memory lane. I see us standing there, such a happy, happy pair. Love beyond compare. Look up there, look up there. The way you held me, no one could tell me. Now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane. I feel the happiness, I feel the pain. Here am I. Back down memory lane. I'm in the sunshine, I'm in the rain. I thought it was over. Here I go again. faster than the speed of sound. Back down memory lane. Be still my foolish heart. Don't let this feeling start. Back down memory lane. I don't wanna go. Ooh.
Tempted to think we're wandering down memory lane today with this mini Ripperton retrospective, but actually I don't think it's retrospective. This is forward-looking music. It's relevant to today. There are people who fell in love to this music, made love to this music, will be sent off, I'm sure, loving you. Actually, on her gravestone, it is actually the epitaph on her gravestone. I think I did write it. Anyway, I've got it down somewhere. But it's loving you is easy because you're beautiful. I mean, yeah. You know, what a great thing to say. And as you say, the words of that song, she died 2 months after the release of that album in 1979.
Yeah, that's right. She was quite sick during that whole time. Yep. Sad.
Anyway, but we're discovering the life and the life that goes on around Minnie Ripperton and her music and the people who made it. And this is a really wonderful example. A song called Here We Go, which you co-penned with Richard Rudolph, her husband.
Yep.
And it had a couple of incarnations. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it did. Well, I started to write the song one night before they were coming over for dinner, and I sort of came up with this groove and chord progression because that's how songs start for me. And when they heard it, they said, oh, look, can we write some lyrics to this? I said, are you kidding? Of course. So that's how all that happened. So it ended up being recorded on her album, which was on Epic Records. And unfortunately, the album was never released because Epic took a while to release the final recording, and her contract came to an end, and they couldn't negotiate it. And so it was shelved. It was sort of frozen for life. So my song was on that album. I was quite disappointed because it was actually picked to be the single. So life goes on, and I figured it was going to be recorded by somebody else eventually. But she then got a deal with Capitol a few months after that deal ended with Epic. They weren't able to buy that master back. It was part of the whole negotiation. It just didn't work. So Minnie recorded her album called Minnie, which is where this song was on, which is Memory Lane. And it wasn't until after she passed away, 18 months after, that her manager, Ken Fritz Management, and her estate and Capitol were able to renegotiate with Epic to obtain the master 2-inch recording back of that album under the proviso, this is the weirdest thing, that they could do it for X amount of money, but they could only use Minnie's voice and not the rest of the tracks. So they had to scrub or erase all the other tracks on the 2-inch masters, and they were left alone with just the actual vocal. So Richard Rudolph, her husband, and Johnny Pate had to find a way to actually, you know, create a click track to the existing track because there was not one on the actual tape, and then re-record everything around it. Not allowed to use the same, production ideas or techniques or arrangements. So a whole new version had to be recorded. Hence the release later on called Love Lives Forever. It was about a year and a half after that. It was released in late 80, where my song finally did get out, which I was absolutely proud of. And once again, it was her first single on the album, which did quite well because it got up to number 10 on the Billboard charts. And
Has Peebo Bryson and Roberta Flack.
That's right. So they got really clever about this. It was a really good marketing scheme because they took advantage of the fact that, you know, they had this opportunity. They were going to get the most mileage they could out of this last recording. And they created duets on the album with her, with people like George Benson, and on my song, Roberta Flack and Peebo Bryson. And they used all of Minnie's voice except for certain lines, which were the duet aspect. And it was a brilliant idea because it took her market into new places.
And, of course, this was pre-digital, so doing this kind of magic was a lot of work.
This was 1980, and I know how, you know, it took him forever, and it was just a absolute, you know, sort of amazing situation. Now, unfortunately, I played guitar on the version you're going to play, which is the original one, and not many people have this recording. I do, because I'm the writer, so I'm loaning it to the audience to listen to. It's not released. It should have been. It's a beautiful groove, and so I'm playing guitar on this version, but I'm not playing guitar on the other one, because I happen to be on the road as musical director for Demis Roussos during the time that they did that re-record. Lee Ritenour is playing guitar on my song instead of me.
Well, I'm sure you on the road with Demis Roussos is another story, but let's hear.
I was very upset about
something
that.
I know has probably never, you know, perhaps a radio first, certainly in Australia. We're going to have the original version of Here We Go Again with Art playing guitar, and then halfway through it, then we'll move to the version with Lee Ritenour and Peebo. And whatever, it's a wonderful song. And incredibly, it's been covered quite a few times by rap artists.
A lot, yes, that's right. Shanti Moore and Kenny Lattimore did a version of this original song, which is a beautiful recording as well, but it's been sampled about 12 or 14 times by rap artists.
So there's something very special about this song, so well done for writing it.
The winner feels when I'm close to you.
So there you heard, and that's a little sample. It's a 7-minute song. I really suggest you check it out on streaming or however you like to source your music. Here We Go, Minnie Riperton, from that wonderful album Love Lives Forever. And the first bit of that was the earlier incarnation of the unreleased version. You heard it first here, thanks to our guest Art Phillips. And again, we get to the end of half an hour. This is just a merest sample about Minnie, but I hope in terms of the spirit both of her music and herself, which you've helped contribute, people will go on and find out some more.
Well, yeah, she was just an amazing artist, and who knows what she would have been doing if she didn't leave our planet. But I'm sure her legend will live on for centuries.
Look, it's been wonderful having here. We're going to finish off with something just to show the remarkable range. And this is also off the Mini 1979 album. It's called Dancing and Acting Crazy. Tell us a little bit about it, because you play on this one too.
Oh, yeah, this is... So I'm credited as Art Phillips' funky guitar, which is crazy. I totally forgot about the song until you brought it out. Co-written with Randy Waldman and Richard Rudolph. I'm not involved with as a writing on this, but I played on the project, and it's just a lot of fun. And I think her kids, Mark and Maya, are actually singing in the background on this. It's a real fun, happy-go-lucky sort of groove song. So,
and that's a great way for us to go out.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much for that. Stay tuned. Don't you dare go anywhere, because DJ Bernhardt is here for Sounds of Soul. And your weekend has started, and you have been consumed on this occasion by the wonderful, the unique, the very soulful, the very special Minnie Riperton.
And wondered